It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Casper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper
and Murray.
Casper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday.
And Murray.
Casper!
And Murray.
Casper!
And Murray.
Casper!
Casper!
Casper and Murray. 98.5 Sports Hub coming in from the Town Fair Tire Studio. With Joe Murray alongside as well. And you, if you'd like to join us at 617-779-0985. Mostly been Patriots heavy here for the last 40 minutes or so, talking about Tom Brady's contract. The incoming contract that I feel like we feel like it's all inevitable. It's not like he's going to gamble on himself at age 42, right? Right? It'd still be kind of cool if he did. Or like you said, maybe holds out on that first preseason game, Chris, until he finally gets that deal. Because Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, theorized that he will get the extension in early August, just like he got that incentive-laden extension last year, which I found somewhat insulting. But what is Tom looking to get paid, right? So it's I think he's like tied for 15th in the league right now, $15 million. We all can agree that he's wildly underpaid, but you have to consider the age, right? Like, I mean, if it was for past performance, he should be the highest paid football player in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
But you have to consider the age and upside. So that's why you see some of these younger guys making crazy money. And some of these guys also based on their past performance, like Russell Wilson making, you know, upwards of $30 million a year. But realistically, what can Brady expect? And does he want to get paid just a hair more than the guy that was supposed to be his successor here, Jimmy Garoppolo? So this is, I'm also reading from Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, and talking about Brady's contract. He talks about Miguel from Pat's Cap, who now works for him.
Yeah, Miguel does a great job.
I think Miguel hit the nail on the head for this extension back in February. Notice that this gets Brady over Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that's important. My guess on what will happen is the Patriots will lower Brady's cap number from $27 million to $22 million in extension, whose new money is $28 million. Jimmy G's average is 27.5. Would you look at that as petty? That if Tom Brady said, all right, yeah, here's what I'm going to get paid. I want a two-year deal, a little less than 50, but right around 50, but I need to be making more than the guy that you were trying to replace me with. I don't care that he's 3,000 miles away and playing for the San Francisco Giants, and he'll be lucky to make it through five games because he's fragile. I want more than him. I want 28. If he's making 27.5, I want 28. I wouldn't look at that as petty. In fact, I would look at that as part of Tom Brady's competitive spirit, which is probably his best attribute, which you haven't seen anyone as ruthless and bloodthirsty for more winning at every single level since Michael Jordan. I think it's well within his right. I wouldn't look at that as petty as all, and he should be getting paid more than the guy that Bill looked at as his successor.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't look at that as petty. I would not look at that as petty either. But, you know, also, I feel like Tom's never really cared about stuff like that, though, so it would be slightly out of character. I mean, both what you're saying and what I'm saying about sitting out the preseason game, that's just not his MO, and it never has been. You know, he always tries to do what's best for the team, and he's never really cared about the money. He's cared more about the winning. I'd say many times to his detriment. Not that he sort of needs the money, Jim, but, you know, it's one of those situations where how many times can you be fooled? Like, you say you take less and they're going to, you know, that means you're going to get to keep Deion Branch. Oops. Or Wes Welker. Oops.
Oh, right.
You know, and no matter how many times he does it, he still loses these guys. So, you know, I just don't think he's wired that way. I really don't. He's competitive. in a lot of ways, but I don't think salary is one of them.
Let's go to Tom in the cars. We were talking about Rob Gronkowski. It's just starting, people. Is he coming back? Is he going to stay retired every single week? Expect to hear a little bit more. And like Chris said, yeah, it's all a matter of time before you start seeing the tweets or people sliding into my DMs. Yeah, I just saw Gronk at Logan. And it'll just be another photo of Larry Fitzgerald. Tom Carr, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a thought on Gronk and then a quick thought on Brady's contract. Mm-hmm. As far as Gronk, I personally don't feel he's coming back. And the main reason, Jim, just what you said, it's those back injuries. You know, I remember when I think he's had like his third operation.
Yeah.
And they had quoted an orthopedic surgeon, not from Mass, but from somewhere else. And he basically said players don't come back from this. And, you know, what's the risk of him coming back and injuring that, you know, where the point where it totally affects the rest of his life? The guy's got a lot of living to do. He's made his money. And as far as getting into a job right away, let him chill for a little bit. Let him hang out with porn stars and go to drink margaritas and, you know, let him have some fun, Jim.
But that stuff gets old, though. When you've been Gronk and you've sort of been at a high level, the competitiveness, I mean, we all, you know, Gronk's fun. He's the ultimate good times guy, and we get it. But he also is a highly tuned professional athlete. And all these guys, when they leave, have a hard time filling that void. So that stuff's fun and it's great. But there is a point, to Florio's point, where it gets to late September or early October.
And you get the itch.
You get the itch if you don't have anything else going on. Like, that other stuff gets old.
Something else I wanted to touch on quickly with the Patriots. Behind the ESPN paywall, I'm sure this will piss off Patriots fans and make you hate ESPN even more, if you couldn't already. Recently, this was just yesterday, they put up a column behind their paywall on ESPN Plus, ranking the most and least improved NFL teams. Just guessing from 1 to 32, where do you think the Patriots land on this, Chris?
Well, since you're talking about it, I'm guessing they're at 32.
Joe?
Say the question again. I'm sorry. I was listening.
Ranking the most and least improved NFL teams from 1 to 32. Where do you think the Patriots fall on this list?
Yeah, I'll say bottom half.
You're both close. So, yeah, all right. So, Joe, that's a nice vague way to get the answer correct. They come in at 30 out of 32.
Oh, man, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
I'll get Chris credit on that one.
No. I said 32. But once you were like, oh, you're both close, I'm like, okay, it's not 32. It must be like they're in the 30s.
Yeah, and so, okay, like, I get it. Like, Brady's older, and they've lost Gronk, but I feel like this is, like, that's kind of cold. Like, 30 for them with the additions that they've made. They bring in Michael Bennett. Obviously, they've lost Trey Flowers, but Bennett had a great season last year and still has something left in the tank.
I think it's probably the, you know, question marks at left tackle, right? Question marks at receiver. Now, are they counting Josh Gordon as returning there or no?
Well, let's read. This is from, so three guys put this article together to cover all these teams. It's from, let's see here. It is from Dan Graziano, Kevin Seifert, and Mike Clay. By the way, it's the Cleveland Browns at number one as the most improved.
Those guys are all really good writers, I'll say.
And so, again, the New England Patriots come in at 30 for the least improved, or one of the least improved. It's them, the Seahawks, and the Miami Dolphins rounding off 30 through 32. But the Patriots, number 30, they write, New England always seems to come out of the other side just fine. But there's no doubt this roster took a hit. Rob Gronkowski, arguably the best tight end in the NFL ever. Stellar as the team's 2018 left tackle, and Chris Hogan paced Patriots wide receivers and snaps in 2018. He sucked last year. Don't try to make a case for him. They're all gone and set to be replaced by a player who initially retired this offseason and is suspended 4 games, and Ben Watson, a pair of youngsters who have never played an NFL down, and Isaiah Wynn and N'Keal Harry, Michael Bennett and Jamie Collins. They can help ease some of the big sting of losing Trey Flowers and Trent Brown, but Tom Brady will have a bit more on his shoulders during his age 42 campaign. My biggest concern, the thing I hated, is that they let Trent Brown walk. I wanted to see him get franchise tag as you try to bring
Isaiah Wynn
along after he has the hamstring injury last year that keeps him out all last year. Like, just for insurance alone, they should have franchise tagged Trent Brown. I know you got the best out of him, and he had a label of being lazy in the past, but man, you want to have some insurance there as a left tackle for your 42-year-old quarterback. Like, that to me is the biggest concern. And the other thing they didn't mention, my other concern, the brain drain. They've lost so many coaches.
Yeah, so that's one that's a great point.
Like, that's one of the things that it's like, I don't know how that doesn't end up catching up with them in some way, shape, or form. These other ones, like, they'll figure it out. And don't make a case for Chris Hogan. The hell out of here with that.
No, I mean, the point you made about the brain drain, I think that's a great point. Because I hadn't really been thinking about that, at least while we were having this discussion. And you're talking about, you know, I thought Brian Flores last year honestly was able to, with the way he ran that defense, mask and disguise a lot of their deficiencies rushing the passer.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever takes over, is it Bill? You know, whoever takes over and sort of does that, will they be able to do the same types of things? And then, you know, Chad O'Shea, wide receivers coach for a long time, could help a N'Keal Harry come along. Now it's Joe Judge, who's the special teams coach, is going to be doubling up. And that's kind of a tough thing. You know, how much are they going to let Caserio help? Because do they feel like he's has one foot out the door in the last year of his contract and maybe is eyeing that situation in Houston? Nick Caserio and Bill O'Brien are really good friends. Before any of this happened, unsolicited, I was talking to Bill O'Brien at the Combine, and unsolicited, he talked about Nick Caserio being one of his best friends, not just in the NFL, but just in
life. Just completely out of nowhere?
Yeah, like I was asking him questions about the Patriots, about Belichick, and just out of nowhere, he mentioned Caserio and said, oh, I have to give credit to the job he does. And then he said, you know, one of my best friends. So they have a really close relationship. So there's a lot going on there. You know, Caserio was wide receivers coach in 2007 when I was covering the team as the beat writer and did a really good job. So he's capable of being able to pitch in there. But if you're Bill, do you want to do that if you feel like this guy has one foot out the door?
And Joe, do you think this is too harsh of a critique here for the Patriots that they're one of the least improved teams in 2019?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually think their defense is just like much better.
Yeah.
I know they're going to lose Trey Flowers, but Bennett's serviceable. You know, Chase Winovich is going to be a nice little player. I think he's going to make an impact on the team. Bentley's going to come back.
Yep.
And one thing that people don't know about Jamie Collins, he actually was like one of the best pass rushers when it came out of the linebacker position to go at the quarterback. Now you're going to move Dante Hightower in that spot as well. You're going to have two guys on the field that can get after the quarterback, not to mention the other players that they can do in other defensive situations here. But for the most part, though, left tackle and I think the coaching, that's going to be the two biggest moves.
Yeah, I think the reason you get someone like this, guys, is they're saying, who's the left tackle? Who are the wide receivers? Who's the tight end? The quarterback's 42. So they're basically saying, like, you're not giving him a lot of help. You know, he's 42, and you're not really giving him much help because tight end, wide receiver, left tackle are all really big question marks. And you could even throw Sony Michel in there coming off this knee injury because last year it was a different team,
yeah.
You know, when they got to the playoffs. They sort of morphed into a run-to-pass team. And I'll be honest with you, of all their Super Bowl winners, I thought last year's roster was probably the second least talented behind 2001. Mm. So if you're saying it got worse from that, then what's the talent level?
Yeah, well, that's fair. I just thought this was a bit harsh. And look, there's obviously a lot of unknowns. And when I read the bit about Chris Hogan, it's like, did you even watch this team last year outside of the postseason? He was mostly useless. Like, he did nothing. And it felt like it had gotten iced out by Brady for portions of the season, too.
He
wasn't even looking his way. Yeah.
And no one's even mentioned, like, some of the, like, Demaryius Thomas. Nobody knows what's going to happen with a lot of these guys as well. So, like, there's bodies. They just need to figure it out. And don't they always do that? Like, they always figure it out.
They always do.
And even when Josh Gordon went down, it made things much easier for the team. And the Gordon thing's still out there. And I know right now I've read a report that he's not really in their plans. But at some point, if he becomes, like, he's another impact player, especially if they don't have Gronk and he doesn't come back.
And the division stinks.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
And I'll tell you what, if I'm Josh Gordon, I'm on the phone to the NFL office Monday morning as soon as they open up and say, yeah, I should be reinstated because a guy who should have been suspended in Tyreek Hill, you didn't suspend. So let me back, even though I have a bad track record when it comes to off-the-field behavior, unfortunately, with drugs and alcohol. So we're going to get to the Tyreek Hill story, the big story yesterday in the NFL. Coming up next year, Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
He is terrified of you, and you say that he respects you, but it's not respect. It's terrified. He is terrified of you.
You need to be terrified of me, too.
No. Literally kept saying, Daddy punches you, which you do when he starts crying. What do? You make him open up his arms, and you punch him in the chest. And then if he gets in trouble, you get the belt out.
Behind closed doors, that the league felt like it could never find evidence that he was a part of this, despite the fact that audio sounds so horrible and seems to implicate him. The league never could substantiate it, and upon listening to the rest of that 11-minute audio, the league reached the conclusion that Tyreek Hill did not do that to his son. And the league left open the case that if additional evidence does surface, that it could go discipline him at that point in time. But ask yourself this, David. Look, the league has come down hard on a lot of different players for a lot of different reasons. And in this particular case, that looked on the surface as disturbing as any, the league decided not to issue discipline. So what the league found, what it came across, clearly must have been persuasive enough for the league not to hand out any discipline here to Tyreek Hill.
ESPN's Adam Schefter, following some of the audio of Tyreek Hill and his fiance Crystal Espinal talking about their 3-year-old son who ended up with a broken arm. Again, 3-year-old kid ended up with a broken arm under their custody. And I don't know, it sounded to me like, Chris, and it's Gaspar Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Adam Schefter said everything but, like, you got to be effing kidding me in talking about this. Like, he sounded incensed, and rightfully so. In case you've been living under a rock over the last 24 hours, NFL not suspending Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill under their personal conduct policy in the domestic violence case involving his 3-year-old son, who, again, ended up with a broken arm. Despite the fact there's tape of Hill and his fiance arguing over said son's broken arm. And you hear her say the child was terrified of him.
Yep.
He says to her, you should be terrified of me, bitch. Like, that alone, Chris, I would think is enough to get you suspended a few games. But yeah.
Especially given his history when he came into the league. I mean, how he got kicked out of Oklahoma State and the whole thing, punching his pregnant girlfriend.
Who's the same woman? Like, that's
is it the same woman?
Yeah, it's the same girl.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, no, same girl. That's what he punched in the stomach. So that's why he got kicked out of school. That's why he dropped in the draft. That's why there's a track record with Tyreek Hill. That the league didn't suspend him, it's wrong, it's gross, it's further proof that the NFL doesn't give a rat's ass about domestic violence, it's run by complete idiots. And the thing that stunned me the more I thought about it, because we didn't even touch on this at all when you did your appearance yesterday on Felgrin Mass, is that so when the NFL puts out their press release on this, they talk about the domestic violence case, and they mention the son. They never mention the fiancé in that release. And that's where there's precedent. There's the... You have the audio tape. There's history of violence with the fiance. And granted, she wouldn't cooperate and talk with the league in investigating this case. But you, knowing what had happened in the past between her and Hill, having that audio tape in which he says to her, you should be terrified of me, bitch. That alone, Chris, should get him a couple of games. At the very least, nothing.
Because it's a threat. I mean, it sounds like a threat. Yeah. He's threatening someone he has already, it's on record, that he already has assaulted.
They kept this to the child and the child alone. And if nothing else, for no other reason, this is a giant gamble by the league. I hope they know what they're doing. And granted, at the end of that press release, they give themselves an out to revisit the case if, say, TMZ Sports or anyone else ends up finding video like they did a la Ray Rice some years ago. But if Tyreek Hill does anything truly dangerous off the field, especially as it pertains to his 3-year-old son who ended up with a broken arm under his custody, you come back to that moment yesterday and say, wow, the league really couldn't have screwed this up anymore.
I mean, you look at it and it just, you know, it goes back to what I always say about the league, you know, and Goodell. It feels like dartboard discipline. Like he just, you know, he takes a dart, throws it at the dartboard. Oh, I missed. Okay, that's 0 games. Oh, I hit. That's 4 games. Oh, I hit. That's 6 games. You know, it's like there's just no continuity or consistency, whether it's Adrian Peterson or Ezekiel Elliott or Tyreek Hill or Ray Rice. It's just so hard to connect them and say, here's the precedent, here's what we're doing. Josh Brown's situation, remember him with the Giants? Remember that
the whole situation, the kicker?
You know, and they have the person who's in charge of sort of investigating this for the NFL is a Giants fan, has like a Giants shrine. And I don't know if that had anything to do with the Josh Brown thing, but it's just a bad look. And then on the other hand, the person who actually interviewed Ezekiel Elliott recommended no discipline to the person in charge, Lisa Friel, in the NFL office. And she's a Giants fan. And suddenly Ezekiel Elliott gets suspended. Again, I don't know if that had anything to do with it.
It's just a
bad optics.
She used
to be a prosecutor. Exactly. It could be a pure coincidence, but it's bad optics. And then you look at this Tyreek Hill thing, and it's really hard to figure out what the league's stance is. You know, because part of the personal conduct policy, for better or worse, is that the NFL does not need any conviction or charges to be filed by authorities, any conviction in a court of law or charges to be filed by law enforcement authorities to issue discipline.
Well, Ezekiel Elliott and Ben Roethlisberger are two high-profile cases that just speak right to that. And so I just... This, you know, I try to apply common sense in all aspects, and especially when talking about sports here. Like, and this, to me, it just felt like common sense. Once you heard that tape, you knew the history between him and the fiance. Like, okay, he's going to get at the very least 4 games, and it's deserved. He should probably get more. Ted Johnson, who was in on Felgrin Mass yesterday, said he thought it should have been 8. And nothing? Nothing.
I mean, I can see if you're threading the needle a little bit here and you say, look, we can't definitively determine whether he is responsible for the broken arm, but we have this audio, and he's basically admitting in the audio that when the kid cries, he punches the kid in the chest.
Yeah.
And so you could come with that and say, okay, we can't prove this broken arm thing. This is a 2-game suspension to start. If something else comes to light and we get more proof, then we reserve the right to expand this suspension. You could do that, but 0? I mean, Zero. And it makes you wonder, because here's my thing, Jim. It makes you wonder if this is Goodell sort of appeasing the owners, because I really think that the owners in general don't like the NFL being in the discipline business. You know how Jerry Jones basically went to war with Goodell last year over the Elliott thing, to the point of trying to block his contract extension. Clark Hunt is also a very influential owner in the league. He's the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe the NFL office, maybe 345 Park Avenue, they just feel like, you know what, unless it's overwhelmingly obvious, we're just not going to do this anymore, because we don't want to go to war with the owners, the people who ultimately pay our salaries.
Tell you what, after this no discipline for Hill yesterday, I don't see how that they come down on Robert Kraft.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's ever going
to
happen.
Like, that's, to me, that's just like, now that's cut and dry. Like, you can't punish him. You can't. And it's not even close in terms of what the, you know, the
But if they do, those Patriots fans, I think they're already standing by, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
They're already standing by.
People would be ready to yell about that. But now, at the risk of sounding cold and callous, here's the question.
Yeah.
Would you take him? Tyreek Hill, I'm talking about, because Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio suggests the Chiefs may look to trade Tyreek Hill. He writes here on Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, the Chiefs plan to resume long-term talks with Tyreek Hill now that he's been cleared of the suspension. The sides weren't close before his off-field situation, so it's hard to see a deal getting worked out. Hill could push for $20 million annually, potentially pricing himself out of Kansas City. Blah, 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 blah. So they could try to trade him next offseason. So they'll go into this season, tag and trade him next offseason. So say he keeps, you know, he stays his nose clean, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no off-field problems. He has a great season because he is a weapon.
Oh, he's a great player, but that's not what this is about.
No, I know. Again, the risk of sounding cold and callous. So he gets to next offseason. Would you take him? Would you trade for Tyreek Hill?
And when you say you, do you mean me individually or me acting as the New England Patriots?
You acting as the New England Patriots.
No. I wouldn't take him. Now, if you're asking me whether I think Bill Belichick would take him, I think he would. Do I think Robert Kraft would take him? I mean, given the history there when Myra Kraft was alive and the Christian Peter thing, and now we're talking about domestic violence and all that, I don't think they would go down this road. I just don't. I don't think they would do it.
Who would?
The Cowboys.
Yeah, or the Raiders.
And the Raiders.
Right.
Or the Browns.
Yeah.
Joe? I think there's more teams. Or the Seahawks.
I think the Cleveland would be interested. Maybe Green Bay. You know, just other, you know, other players in the wide receiver. Just one take I have is, and this is unbiased, okay? This isn't, oh, New England and they get screwed or anything. I think this is something that the league is looking at, is this is a player that, like Patrick Mahomes, the MVP of the league, they like might be building around this type of player. Offense is something that's just, you know, a big thing in the NFL, and I don't think they're going to trade him. I don't. I know they're dangling it out there probably for, you know, what's happening and the press of it all. But like, the more I look at it, I feel like this is, you know, I don't know how they could make this decision. I don't know how, but the way I look at it is like, this is one of the top players for a guy in the MVP of the league that's chasing the New England Patriots, that was what, in overtime to go to the Super Bowl.
So you're saying it's ratings driven.
I don't want to say that, but at the same time, there has to be something there.
You feel like it's fishy in some way, shape, or form.
It is. So
it's about just the business.
Like, if this was the Patriots, yeah, people would crush them, suspend them, whatever. But like, this is the guy that's like multiple times fell in the draft. You mentioned the same girl. Like, and one other thing I wanted to add is, what if Tyreek does something else again against his wife and the NFL did the NFL did nothing about it? Like, that's just another story that's waiting to happen.
It's criminal is what it is, if anything were else to happen between him and her. It's gross. Like I said, once you hear that tape, I felt it was common sense. Ah, he's going to get four games at the very least, and then nothing? Oh, it's insane. But I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up with a trading block next offseason. Yeah, someone like the Cowboys, the Raiders, like you say, maybe Green Bay. Like, look, it's talent trumps trouble more in that league, maybe more than any else. It's why Kareem Hunt.
The Redskins, because they took Reuben Foster, so the Redskins would be in on him.
Kareem Hunt ended up with the Cleveland Browns.
I think Baltimore would take him.
You serve your suspension, you come back into the game. That's just the way that it is. It's ugly, it's gross, and again, it's just proof that the league is run by complete idiots.
Tucker mentioned the 49ers in my ear. Maybe team him up with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right, yeah. So we want to weigh in on the Tyreek Hill situation. Have at it. 617-779-0985. We even have one call waiting from Steven Tingsboro. And Tucker, who's producing the show, wrote it as Brady four games for air. And he wrote in parentheses, Christ, here we go again.
Tucker.
Yep. So we'll get to your calls coming up on this. Got a half hour to go here on Gasper Murray. But Joe Murray's going to get you caught up now with Sports Hub headlines here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Fly ball, center field. Bradley back on the run. Jackie all the way to the wall. He'll watch that sail. That's out of here. Santander with a three-run homer in the first inning. There's a shot. He drives this one deep, heading back into the stands. That is way gone. Broxton with his fourth home run of the season. Second one Price has allowed in this game. Well, that was an ugly one. Baltimore wins this one easily tonight by a final score of 11-2. Rick Porcello trying to get the Sox into the win column tomorrow.
A loss is a loss. You know, it doesn't matter if you're successful in a certain ballpark or, you know, whatever the conditions may be. You know, just losing sucks, and I look forward to get back out there 5 days from now.
You suck, you jackass.
Oh, yeah, so that happened last night, too. This is how we opened up the show today. Gaspar Murray, 98.5 of Sports. Sports of me cackling at the expense of David Price. And sure, it sucks that the Red Sox ultimately lost 11-2 to the AAA Baltimore Orioles, who should be relegated from Major League Baseball because they're an embarrassment, and try to name an Oriole. That they lose to that team, that sucks.
I know that bank guy.
Santander Bank?
The bank guy that hit a three-run homer off Price. Does that count?
Yeah.
I just named one. Well, Trey Mancini and the bank guy. And Cashner, who got traded. Yeah. I just named three Orioles.
Right, Cashner, who's now with the member of the Red Sox, and he looks like Big John Studd in his first performance.
That is a great call.
Yeah, he looks just like him. You're old enough to remember.
Phenomenal.
Except he pitched like Big John Dudd. Hey-o. But that said, David Price deservedly got his face ripped off last night. And I say deservedly because of the whole blow-up with Dennis Eckersley again 2 years later, earlier this week. It's like he could see it coming. They lose 11-2. Price goes four innings, gives up six runs, including two home runs, and it was, David Price at his worst. So to that I say, ha-ha, I cackle at that loss. And if you weren't rooting for that last night, that kind of performance from David Price, I don't want to know it. Sure, it sucks that they lost. They're in this playoff race now 11 games behind the New York Yankees. They're not going to win the American League East. Still in the hunt for the wild card spot, one of the wild card spots. But that last night can only be described in one word, and that is delicious. I'm a sick person. I make no apologies. We were talking about the suspension of Tyreek Hill. Your thoughts on that? Got a couple of people hanging. You want to join us? 617-779-0985. Let's go to Adam in Bridgewater. Hello, Adam.
How are we doing?
Good. What's up?
So what I'm thinking is, you know, what is worse? Beating out a child or asking for a massage, you know, with a happy ending? So what I'm thinking is Robert Kraft's suspension is coming. There's no way, no way. He's going to get suspended because of this precedent. And I think this is a setting coming into what is, you know, the Kraft suspension talk coming soon in August, maybe.
Oh, yeah. And Adam, that's what we were just saying. Like, I feel like this is now a given with Hill, what he did, allegedly, off the field, which is truly heinous and criminal. And, you know, what Kraft allegedly did was a crime of vice, which I think most rational people like myself, just look at and be like, the guy had a moment. He ended up going to get caught. No big whoop. It's two completely different things. But if you're not going to punish Hill for something like that, you can't punish Robert Kraft. You can't. I will say, and I mentioned it earlier, if I'm someone like Josh Gordon, who continues to be on the exempt list and is indefinitely suspended by the NFL, I'm on the phone first thing Monday morning saying, hey, look, I need to be back. And I know I have a track record, unfortunately, and I've had my issues with drugs and alcohol, but you're not going to suspend this guy for what he did? Yeah, I need to be back. And I know that other guys that have had other track records, like Randy Gregory in Dallas and Martavis Bryant, who's currently unsigned, the wide receiver used to be with the Steelers and the Raiders, they both applied this week. I got to be, if I'm any of those guys, I'm like, no, I need to be back because this is absolutely ridiculous that you didn't pop Hill for this.
Yeah, but that's the problem. I mean, again, I've said it before.
It's the dartboard discipline.
Discipline. There's no continuity or consistency. If you try and draw logical lines between decisions, you can't do it. I mean, you can't, and I will say this, from a moral standpoint, you're absolutely right in terms of what's worse, and, you know, this guy should be back. But I think what the NFL would say, and this is where the bureaucracy comes into play, so I'll play a NFL advocate here, right? They would say it's a completely different policy, that the you know, substance abuse policy is different from the personal conduct policy. Those are different policies. As frustrating as it is, given where we are at this country, in this country, when it comes to sort of, you know, more, I would say, educated, open, liberal attitudes about recreational drug use, the reality is the NFL is where they are right now on that, and they're going to say it's a separate policy from the personal conduct policy. You can't connect it.
We'll entertain it. As again, I have to say kudos to Tucker Silva, who is producing the show today. He wrote in the call screener. This guy calling in here says, Brady, four games for air, and in parentheses, Christ, here we go again. Stephen Tingsborough, go ahead.
Hey, guys, it's Stephen Tingsborough. Hey, Big Jim, I met you at my golf course in the spring when yours was closed in Linfield. But the bottom line
Oh, yeah, okay, like, that's Sagamore, right?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
What I don't understand, Jim, is it seems like the rule book of the game is more important than common sense, the law, and morality. That's what I don't understand. So my club championship is this weekend. You hit the wrong ball. I penalize you two strokes. You stab someone in the parking lot. That doesn't matter.
That's pretty well said,
that's
actually.
That's a good way of putting it.
But when does the rule book supersede common sense, the law, and morality? That's what I don't understand. And, of course, you go back to what the comment line said. I mean, seriously.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a good point. Look, and I said yesterday, like, let's not make the comparisons to Brady in the air. And like, by the way, he got suspended that year. They ended up winning the Super Bowl. Get over it. But I can understand why some Patriots fans look at this and be like, you've got to be kidding me. He gets four games for air.
Yeah.
This guy very likely broke his 3-year-old son's arm and he didn't get suspended. Like, give me a break. This is ridiculous. And how many suspensions they have for guys that are smoking weed, maybe just so because they don't want to take opiates for pain. You know, like, it's absolutely ridiculous.
No, and I think when you look at it from a common sense standpoint, there's no question about that. But here's the thing with the Brady suspension. That was never really about Tom Brady, and it was never really about air pressure in footballs. It was about the Patriots.
And trying to level the playing field.
It was about Belichick. It was about Spygate. It was about getting their pound of Patriot flesh, which the other owners, felt like they didn't get when Goodell went too light, they felt, on Belichick in the organization for Spygate. And that's what that was about. It was never about – it was basically about repeat offenders in the minds of the other owners who were somewhat jealous of the Patriots. It wasn't strictly about the rule book. And I feel like this non-suspension is, once again, it's about the owners. It's what do they want? They don't want their guys suspended. They don't want marquee guys not performing in games that will be televised and that could affect ratings. It's all that stuff. So it's also, it's dartboard discipline, but it's also discipline that's based on expediency and based on trying to please your superiors. And yes, even Roger Goodell has superiors, the NFL owners.
You should trademark that slogan and make t-shirts. Dartboard discipline.
I've used it a bunch of times. I may or may not have gotten a call from the NFL office on a column with the dartboard discipline in it.
You're kidding. They have their backs up that much over something that stupid. Oh, God. That league does, and it's the one league I care about more than any other, even though they keep watering it down more by the year.
Did not care for that phrase.
Oh, what a bunch of bitches. And unbelievable. And they do their best to try to, like, make it as watered down, repulsive a product as possible. They got me over a barrel, like most people, but they try their hardest. And especially with this non-suspension of Tyreek Hill, it's just yet another thing that you look at and, like, what are you doing? Like, you're the best league. You get the ratings that you do and the eyes on you for a reason. It's the best product. Why do you keep trying to kill it and push people away? It's so stupid. Let's go to Bryce in the car. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Bryce.
Hey, what's going on, bud?
Go ahead.
So, quick question for you. Do you think that, I was on Twitter last night and I saw Carrabba's tweet and I saw a couple other tweets with high-ranking scouts that were at these big games at the Mets and the Giants game looking at Bumgarde and Syndergaard and then the Stroman sighting. Do you think it's even worth it at this point to go out and look so many games back in the wild card game as well as the division? Or is it just I don't know, it's like mind-boggling. Like, what are we going to give away? We have nothing in our farm system to give out. And what pieces are we going to give away? Jackie Bradley?
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Bryce. So should the Red Sox be sellers or buyers here going into the trade deadline? Again, they're now 11 games back behind the Yankees. What's the latest wild card standing? Are they 2.5 back?
They are, looks like, I can never read this wild card thing because they do the team with the first one.
Well, either way, as of today, they're out of the playoffs.
Yes.
So if they end up, losing this series, even if it's two out of three games to the Orioles, and then they have this gauntlet coming up in the next 14 games where it's Tampa Yankees.
They're three games back of the second wild card.
I was
finally able to read this standing.
Oh, it's
here.
Even worse than I thought it was. So, buyers or sellers, what should they do?
I still think they should be buyers because they're still in that championship window at this point. You've made commitments, big time commitments, to guys like Bogarts and Sale. So it's not just about this season; it's about coming seasons. You have Mookie Betts, I would assume, next year, and you don't know after that. So if you could get a Syndergaard or Stroman, especially Syndergaard. Like, for me, Syndergaard's like a game changer. You know, that guy is he's under team control for two more years. Porcello's coming off the books anyway. And two more years from now, you'll have Price going into the last year of his deal, where you probably, if you were willing to eat some of that, could move on from him if you ended up having to sign center guard to a bigger contract. I would, to be honest with you, if I had to move Andrew Benintendi to get center guard, I would do it.
Yeah, but if I'm the Mets, and granted, that's a dumb franchise. The first guy, especially with Syndergaard under team control, first guy I'm asking for is Rafael Devers. Andrew Benintendi's just another guy. A guy I couldn't
But the Mets need outfielders. I mean, if you put a package together, and now, you know, I'm going to sound, this is going to be outrageous and a messed up trade, but, you know, it's like, if you put a package together that had, like, Benintendi, Bobby Dalbec, who's a third baseman, which the Mets need, and that, and some sort of pitching, it might cost you ERA, I don't know, or some pitching prospect.
I still feel like you're ripping them off.
Really?
That's not enough.
But maybe they feel like they can't re-sign the guy.
Yeah. I don't know. Joe, buy, sell?
In about 5 days, I'm not going to care about the Red Sox once the Patriots start. And that's a real thing, by the way.
Oh, you think so?
I'm with you 100%.
Absolutely. You look,
they're going to be playing the Yankees.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
You don't care.
Them kick their ass, too. and the thing is, like, did David Chris Sale gave you something this week. He did. He gave you something. And I hate his comments, by the way. I know you guys didn't really mention that, but every time he speaks after a game, it just bothers the hell out of me. But at least you saw something there. But they probably have to be buyers at some point, right? They got to probably get another bullpen arm to get everybody interested again.
All right, we'll wrap up the show with five questions for Chris Gasper that have nothing to do with sports. That's next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's how we try to wrap up the show each and every week, as long as we're both here and we're finally back for the first time in weeks. Five questions for Chris Gasper. You got nothing to do with sports. Question number one there, Chris. Weird food combination that you love that other people think is gross. For example, you know, say you put chips on a tuna sandwich, even though that's not gross, but you have a little weird combo that you're into that other people raise an eyebrow at.
I don't really think I do. I don't really think I have like a weird, I'm trying to think of like a weird, I'm pretty, as you know, Jim, I'm pretty like by the book. So
yes.
It's like, I don't really think there's like a weird combo that I do that, like, you know, hot dog. Like, first of all, I don't like ketchup on a hot dog or anything like that.
So there.
Yeah. I don't think I have one.
I will go with the Dick Murray. Shout out to my dad and his sandwich. It's a BLT with peanut butter. I remember as a kid watching him make it. My dad's not much of a cook, but I remember watching him make BLTs with like extra mayo, all the bacon, and then slapping peanut butter on there. I was like, this is going to be disgusting. And then I tried it. Oh, it made me weak in the knees. Try that one time.
Nice.
A BLT with peanut butter. It's a life-changing sandwich. Question number two. Quentin Tarantino's new movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, out next week. Will you go see it?
This looks pretty good. I probably will go see it. I mean, it looks like the actors in are good. I could boil it down to just, I want to see Margot Robbie, Sharon Tate. So I probably will go see this at some point.
Hey, you hit the nail on the head. If for no other reason, it's Margot Robbie as Sharon Tate. They have a billboard on 93. I almost crash every time I drive by it. It's like, oh, Jesus. And that's
you and Will Smith.
That era, like, I like 70s New York and like late 60s, early 70s LA. Just the look. Oh, man, I can't wait for this movie. And I already have resigned myself, Chris, to the fact I know I'm going to be disappointed by it because I have such high hopes for it. I know it'll end up. I'll walk up.
Didn't
and be like,
do like ugh. Really well at Cannes, right?
Yeah, but what's that mean? Okay. I don't know. People like movies all the time that I end up going to see, and I'm like, oh, this is garbage.
You're tough. Man.
Like
you're
Hereditary tough last year, you go to see Hereditary, and then I did, and I wanted my money back. Question number three: if you could shop at one store for free for the rest of your life, Chris, which
one store?
Yeah, what store would that
for
be?
Free?
You really got to think about that.
Yeah,
fancy
man,
boy.
That's a tough one. Maybe the old Bloomingdale's. Pretty solid.
I'm going to go with Whole Foods because I like shopping at Whole Foods, but they call it Whole Paycheck for a reason. Question number four, record temperatures hitting the area this weekend. Would you rather be hot or cold, Chris Gasper?
Oh, that's so tough. I'm going to say cold just because, you know, I'm a little bit of a sweater. So, you know, there's some really sort of logistical issues that come into play. So I would say I'd rather be cold. You can always bundle up. You know, you have that nice Canada Goose coat.
Yeah, so it is open to interpretation. So what's cold? Like 37 to me isn't that cold.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the lady runs real cold.
Yeah.
Like at all times. Like to her, 50 is colder. I'm like, 50 is like perfect.
Yeah.
You know, 40 is perfect to me. So I think you're right. Even though I hate the winter. You get better clothes in the fall. You can always take stuff off.
Exactly.
You can match sweaters when
and like you're inside. Like, I mean, are you making me stand outside in this? Like, how long? Like, if you're telling me stand outside in the cold versus stand outside in the heat, I'll take the cold.
Like, she texted me 20 minutes ago saying that we've already lost power, and I'm in full-on panic. Like, it's the only thing I thought about, and it's why, like, I'm already like, turn off all the lights. We can't lose the air conditioner.
See, there you go.
Final question to wrap up today. What is the last thing that you and your lady fought about?
Oh, man. Probably what time she was going to get up while on vacation. Because my vacation...
Do you want to, like, get up and out?
Yeah. Like, we have vacation. Like, for me, like, I'm on this vacation. It's like, I'm paying for this. We're paying for this. We're going to see everything we can see. You know, she sort of has the mindset because she works, you know, at 9 to 5, sure. 8:30 to whatever, 6 type of job every day. She's like, I get up early every day. I'm on vacation. I want to relax. So it's like, I want to pop up. I want to go. I want to, like, get all these things done. I'm like, we're never going to be here again. We're spending all this money. Let's see everything. And she's like, let's relax.
Now, you're like my buddy Keith that you've met before. Like, traveling with him, it's like that. Like, let's go.
Exactly.
Knocking on my hotel door.
Exactly.
Like,
that's the way I am.
F off. See, that's a good thing.
A vacation is just a job that you're paying for.
Let's see. With Jazz and I, we're both lazy. We vacationed somewhere. It's like, if we missed out on it, no big whoop. All right. Well, so wraps up Gasper Murray as we were back here today on 98.5 Sports. I want to thank Joe Murray, who's already split, who was alongside as well, and Tucker Silva for doing a great job producing the show today. Chris, always good to see you, pal.
Good to see you, man.
What's up for the rest of the weekend? Anything good?
No, not much. Got a little work. Got a little story to work on. Going to chill out. Probably watch a little Stranger Things tonight. I know you bailed on it. But
I did.
They've sucked me back in with full-on 80s. And then next week, how excited are you about next week when we're...
Oh, right. Yeah, so next week we do
location.
Our annual pilgrimage to a high above the practice field at Foxborough. It's where I turn back into 17-year-old me,
definitely.
Like, wow, look at Brandon Cooks. He's going to matter so much to this offense. No, he didn't, but I still turn into old, young Jimmy.
Oh, you'll be back. You'll be like, Chris, did you see that catch Braxton Berrios made? I think he can fill the slot.
N'Keal Harry, he's like Julio Jones. This is so cool.
Yeah, this is always you. As you wave your Patriots credit card in the air. It's my favorite week of the year.
So we'll be down there from 10 to 1, so I'll see you then, pal. Coming up next, we have Christian Arcan and Sean Silver. I feel like I saw you guys like 7 hours ago.
Yeah, you did. We were on last night. Are you going to put on your jorts and crash the fence with all the other fans?
Oh,
there,
yeah.
Jim?
Oh, yeah. No. I'll have my like old guy hat on. Maybe like I'll be ready to go for that.
Sounds like a plan. We got some Red Sox stuff to get to because we're not going up against the game for the first time in a while. So we have a lot of Red Sox thoughts to flush out here. David Price getting smacked around. The trade deadline less than 2 weeks away. And what is this team going to do? I feel like the fact that we're 11 days away and we don't know if this team's going to be buyers or sellers is not a very good sign. So we'll get into all of that and a couple of Celtics and Tyreek Hill stuff as well.
Arcan and Sean Silver coming up next. You want to get on with them? 617-779-0985. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Talk to you with Felger and Maz next week. Bye.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.